Good to see everyone here this morning. I bring good news this morning. You have had to listen to me for two Sundays in a row, but after today you get several weeks of not having to listen to me, so you've been blessed already by being here this morning. If you're visiting here, we want you to know we're very glad you're here. We want you to feel welcome. Come back any chance you get. If we do something in the service this morning, you have a question about what we're doing or why we do a certain thing, catch one of the brethren afterwards and ask us about it. We have nothing to hide, and we'd love to visit with you about it if there's something that maybe you haven't experienced before. This morning, I want to talk to you about God's calling to all men. We have people in society today that question and ponder over whether there is a God. They have philosophical discussions, they have get-togethers where they will sit and ponder, and they believe they're asking intelligent questions about, well, is there a God? And if there is, why hasn't He made Himself more clearly known to us? Why hasn't He called to us? Why hasn't He spoken to us clearly when God has called to men from the very beginning? God has called out and asked for men to come to Him and know of His ways. And I contend to you that He has made Himself known. And He has made Himself known very clearly. He has spoken to mankind in various ways. And in addition to the book that so many people call antiquated. It's funny how they won't read His Word, but then they want to know more about Him and ask, why hasn't He spoken to us? And we're going to study about that a little bit this morning. He's spoken loudly to those that will listen. But a lot of people won't listen. And a lot of the reason for that is they just don't like the message. It's not that they don't want to listen to Him. They just don't like what He says. And so this morning I want you to look with me as we go through the Scriptures and let's talk about and study about how God has called to all men. He has begged and He has pleaded with men for centuries. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. What this passage is talking about is over time there has been various ways God's talked to men. He has talked to men in different ways during different times. But He makes a statement here. He says He hath in these last times, these last days, meaning this is the last section of time we have. There's not going to be another section of time to where God would talk to us in a different way. And in this last section of time, He is talking to us through His Son. And we'll study about that toward the latter part of our lesson this morning. But God, the point I bring out here is God has always called to men. He has always tried to call men and implore them to do the things that He said would be good and to follow after His ways because they are a blessing to mankind. I want to look at a few ways that God has called mankind. And the first one I want to look at with you this morning is that God has called mankind simply through His creation. In Psalms 19, in the first four verses, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun." God has called man simply through His creation. For people that want to seek more about God and find more about Him and wonder whether He even exists, they simply have to look at the creation that is around us, the things that He spoke into existence. God's glory, His power, His majesty, it is revealed through His creation. It is expressed to mankind by His creation. Man shouldn't have to wonder if there is a God. Because everything around us, when we think about the changing of the seasons, the times, the sun, the moon, the creation of all these things, they speak loudly to say, "I am God, I am here, come seek me." Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20. It talks about here the how God's wrath is revealed from heaven. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Now listen. The things that may be known of God are manifest, and that means made clear, exposed, shown. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now what this verse is telling us is that God has shown His presence in His creation. It is made manifest, it is clear to see, and man is without excuse to say there is no God. He is without excuse to acknowledge God. He is without excuse to say, "Well, He never spoke to me, I never saw any signs." Man is without excuse. They have no excuse. They have no reason to say that He has hidden Himself. They have no reason to say He has not spoken to us clearly. His creation of all things that He has made prove that to us. But do we listen? Have you ever had somebody that asks a lot of questions and they just ask question, ask question, ask question? They just don't want to hear the answer. They just won't listen. They never intended on listening to the answer when they asked a question. That's the way a lot of men are today, and people, I use men generically there, that's the way a lot of people are today when they think about and ponder this question of, does God exist, and is He there speaking to us, and all this. They don't want to hear. They're not listening to what He has said. Psalms 8 and verse 3, "Look, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him." The psalmist here, the writer, he's taking time out to sit and contemplate. He ponders over the greatness of God that is shown in His creation. "When I consider thy heavens..." Now I want you to, every now and then, just pause in your day and take time out and consider. Think about the heavens. Think about the handiwork of the Creator, the moon, the stars that He has ordained, the fact that they always circle in the seasons, never has failed. All of these things, just sit back and think about that for a minute and understand the greatness of God. And then the psalmist here in verse 4, he kind of asks a rhetorical question. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" This is his realization. From him sitting back and pondering on this, this is his realization that man, in reality, is nothing in comparison to God. We are nothing. But yet, he still calls to us. And he still considers us. And he still has interest in us to establish a relationship with us. The Creator of all things, who is so far above us that we can't imagine it, yet still has interest in us. That should call upon men. That should inspire them to learn more about their Creator. Psalms 104 and verse 24 through 25 says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein all things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts." How manifold, multiple, uncountable are thy works. The earth is full of thy riches. The creation of God is him calling loudly to mankind. It is him begging and imploring mankind to come to him. "What for?" you ask. Well, what is God calling us for? God calls man to recognize and notice his greatness. He calls him to recognize his majesty. And the reason is because when man sees and understands that greatness, that majesty, and the value of that glory that is exhibited through his creation, he's going to want to know more about it. He's going to want to get closer to that Creator, to the source of that, and he's going to want to experience. And that brings us to our next way that God is calling mankind. He calls us through his word. God's word is him calling us to have faith and trust in him. His word directs us to believe in him. And here's a couple of different ways that this word works. The first one I want to look at here is through his prophecies. But look, when we think about him calling us to have faith, you can't have faith without hearing the word of God. Now, you can understand there's a great creator. You can recognize his majesty and his glory and his creation, but to truly know about him, you have to hear his word. And that's why Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't develop faith in God, that true commitment, trust, and turning over of yourself, following after him, regardless of what happens. You can't develop that without the guidance of his word and listening to his word. Let's talk about his prophecies for just a second. The fulfilled prophecies are there to produce faith in mankind. That's why they're there. They speak about his power. They speak about his foresight and how he will be a God that fulfills his promises, accomplishes what he says he will do. Isaiah 42 and verses 8 and 9 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. There's been a lot of people that's tried to tell you about the future. Nobody's got the success record of God. That's because he knows what the future is. All these other people that keep telling you about, oh, the signs point to this and the signs point to that. I don't care what the signs point for that they're looking for. God's word said, here's what's going to happen. And he has always kept his word. He always will keep his word. And he will prophesy in detail what you will find in the Old Testament. He prophesies in detail about certain things coming. And it always comes to pass. And these prophecies are recorded in his word so that we will develop and have faith in him. Isaiah 4. 46 and verse 9 through 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east and the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. You go look at the prophecies that are found in the Old Testament. He fulfills them in the time frame that he said he would fulfill them. Now there are some that are still yet to come to pass. But with a track record like God has, I think it's dangerous for mankind to doubt whether or not he will fulfill his word and those prophecies will come to fruition. Wouldn't want to take the opposite side of that. Recorded eyewitness testimony that we have in the scripture is there to produce faith in him. We have people that witnessed Jesus, witnessed his miracles, witnessed all the work that was going on during that time. It is recorded for our benefit. That is there to produce faith in him. Acts chapter 10 and verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. See, these people saw Jesus. They saw him after he was resurrected. And they were charged to go out and tell that story to other people. Well, we have that recorded in the written word. We have the scriptures. Eyewitness testimony of people who saw Jesus after he had come forth from the grave. You know, another thing that we think about when we talk about this is, well, maybe it was just a couple. Well, I venture to say it was more than that. 2 Peter 1 verse 15 through 16 says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Well, it wasn't just the writer in Acts. We've got Peter talking about it. We know Paul saw him, apostle called out of due time, as he called himself. We have all these other writers in the New Testament. You know what else? There was a lot of other people that saw him that didn't write anything in the New Testament, but their eyewitness is recorded by the apostles here. We have eyewitness testimony. Do you know how valuable that is? I've never been to a lot of places in the world, but I know it's there because somebody else has been there and they have told me, and I trust them. You see, we have eyewitness testimony of multitude of people who saw Jesus resurrected of the dead, and therefore they witnessed the power of God. And by him resurrecting his son out of the grave, that's him calling to men. That is him calling on men to believe in him. You know something else? I don't have it in my notes here on the screen, but there's manuscript evidence. If you go back and do some study about manuscripts and the history of those things, there are more manuscripts and pieces of manuscripts and things like that that mesh and tell the same story than there are for any other type of historical type writing. Now, some people wouldn't dare to question the validity of manuscripts of people written by Socrates, Plato, or even Homer. But do you realize when we stand those up against the manuscript evidence, and as we question that manuscript, and as we, I guess you might say, put it on trial, the scripture has much more evidence that it is a believable document than these other things written here. And that attests to its authenticity as a historical document, and it surpasses many other ancient documents. God's word calls to men to hear and to believe Jesus Christ. That's what the word's calling you to do. To believe on Jesus. Matthew 17 and verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Nobody hadn't heard anything from God. Why doesn't he call to us? Why doesn't he tell us more about himself? It's recorded here that in speaking of his Son, that he said, "This is my Son. I am pleased in him. Listen." Listen to the message that he is bringing you. Listen to the doctrine that he is going to deliver you. But do we listen? You know what's odd is people, there's different people throughout time. Some have listened, some haven't. Some want to, some don't. That's just the nature of the game. There were people who walked with Christ and the apostles and saw the miracles, didn't believe. They acknowledged something had happened, but they didn't believe because they didn't convert themselves to him and commit themselves to him. We have all this evidence through God's word and how he is calling us today, and yet we still have people who will not listen. They will not listen. You cannot develop faith without listening to God's word, brethren. You can't wait for an emotion, and you can't wait for some miraculous thing to happen. You have to listen to the Word of God, because that is the plan that we live under today. Go back to Hebrews. "Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son." Well, his Son came to deliver the Word, and we'll study a few verses about that in just a second. But you cannot develop faith without listening to God's Word. John 20 and verse 30 through 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." These things are written for a purpose. That scripture is there, is written for a purpose. People want to talk about the miraculous things and the signs he did. There are other things that couldn't be even held in a book, it says. But there's a reason these are written down. And there's a reason that we have the word, is that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing on him, we could have eternal life through his name. See, this is the big picture when mankind starts pondering God's calling to him. This is why God's calling us. God desires that we have eternal life. We messed all that up in the beginning. God has since has shown us this plan to where we can be reconciled. He is desiring to have a relationship with us. He desires that we have eternal life and spend eternity with him. But far too many just don't want to listen. They don't want to hear. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Are you searching the scriptures daily? Are you looking in there to make sure the things that you have been taught, whether it be here or anybody else, to whether those things be truthful? If not, you're not listening to God's word. You need to have that Bible open. And you need to be reading about God and his plan and how he is calling you. You see, this is a personal calling. The calling is the same. He doesn't call you differently in a way that he called somebody else. The calling is the same, but yet he has a personal interest in each and every one of us. He has a personal interest in us. He desires that each and every one of us come and enjoy his goodness and his mercy and his forgiveness. The last thing we'll study about this morning is how God calls through his Son. Back to our text we started out with, Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He has spoken to Jesus through these last days. Jesus came and delivered the word after he left. The Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to continue writing about that word, and the word has been fully revealed. Don't wait for something else. He's spoken to us through Jesus, his Son. Don't wait for something else. And so far too many people do that. And they ask these questions that they think make them sound smart, but they make them sound not smart. It's not the word I wanted to use, but if I said that, I'd get chastised by my children. So they ask these questions, but they don't want the answer. God has made himself available and evident through his Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 14 through 18. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is speaking of Jesus the Son. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And all his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus came to declare God to you. Jesus came to declare God, show his greatness, and he did it in that life and that sacrifice. That's how bad God wants you to enjoy his goodness, because he knows it's good for you. It's the best thing for you, and it's certainly better than the alternative. You see, God has called men. And he is calling through Jesus Christ. All men. All men. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 through 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You are called with a holy calling. God has interest in you. God has a holy interest in you. He desires that you be saved and that your sins be forgiven. Through Jesus Christ, God is calling every man everywhere. And here's what he says. I've given everything. Everything. In an effort to have you come to me and enjoy my love and my goodness. God is calling all men and he's begging them to come to enjoy his love. But do we listen? Do we listen? John chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. Scripture says here, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? You know, sometimes we just don't listen when something's being screamed right in our face. I mean, it's right there, it's plain, it's evident, it's being proven, and, you know, we're looking around like, I wonder what that is. I wish only they would tell me something, and they're sitting there telling you. Now, later on, we know all these guys that after the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, these guys were convicted, and they went on spreading the word of God. But at this point here, they've been walking with Christ, and he says, how can you not see it? Are you not listening to the things that I have said? A lot of times people just don't listen to what Jesus is revealing to us about God. Look at Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are we listening to God's warnings that have been delivered by his Son, Jesus, and recorded in his Word? God is calling to us. Not only does he call us to enjoy his mercy and his forgiveness and to come be a part of his family, but he also, in that calling, expressly tells us what's going to happen to those who don't answer the call. Someday, there's going to be a great separation. And what he is saying here through Jesus is to put effort into finding that right pathway, the pathway that is clearly laid out in the Scripture, because that gate is narrow that leads to life, but the one to destruction is wide open. Here's the thing. You ever seen these different organizations and things like that, and they have their requirements, and you got to fill out the application, and you got to do all this, and you got to go through this process? I got news for you, folks. The gates to hell have no application process. They're not going to check IDs at the door. They're not going to ask you to do anything. They're going to say, come on in. The gateway to heaven begins through Jesus Christ. And he doesn't put a lot on you that you can't handle. All he does is to say, come to me, submit to my will, obey my gospel, have your sins forgiven, become a member of the body of Christ, and walk in newness of life. Now, how hard is that? Does that sound hard? Doesn't sound hard, but it is, because it goes against our pride. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus again speaking here, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Are we listening to what the Son says? Are we listening to what the Son of God says about that final day? Or are we ignoring this part here? There's a day coming where the door is going to be shut. There's a day coming where there's not going to be any more opportunity to answer that call. So why do so many people not heed the calling of God? Why do they ignore it? Why do they refuse to obey it and accept it? A lot of them are just prideful. They're just going to bound and determined. They're going to do things their way. Well, you be careful on that, because you may do things your way and walk right into those wide gates of hell. If you do it the Lord's way, gate to heaven is open and receiving and welcoming. Matthew 13 and verse 15, I'll tell you why people don't listen and don't heed God's calling. Matthew 13, 15 says, "For this is Jesus speaking here. He says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." Here's why people don't listen and heed the calling of God, and it's these three things right here. They have a hard heart through pride, their eyes are closed because they don't want to see the truth, and their ears are closed. They don't want to hear the message. And that's just the bottom line. We can make it out to be all these various different things, but it boils back to this right here. People don't answer the call because they don't want to. And one thing I have figured out about humans and about mankind, we all do what we want to do. You know the guy that's all out there in the streets drugging it up and everything? Let me tell you why he does that. Because that's what he wants to do. Same thing goes for the guy that cheats on his wife or his taxes or anything else and says, "I just can't believe." No, that's what you wanted to do. You know when I make mistakes and do some things sometimes, you know why that is? That's because that's what I wanted to do. When I don't read my Bible like I should, that's because I chose something else. I wanted to do something else. We obtain hard hearts, closed eyes, and closed ears. And brethren, I want to tell you something. God's calling is not going to last forever. How long are you going to wait to answer God's call? How long will you wait to answer His call and become a member of the body of Christ that He so longingly desires that you do? The end is nearer than ever. The end is closer today than it was yesterday. And on that last day, men are no longer going to have the chance to answer that call of God. The door is going to be shut. They may try to pound on it and scream or whatever, but the door will not be opened. How long will you wait to answer God's call? My advice is to you today to answer the call today while there's time. I leave you with one passage, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 through 7. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." You see, this is one thing that's really nice about God. He has an abundance of pardon. He's got a lot of forgiveness that He can give. But you got to obey the call. You got to answer the call, and you have to submit yourself to His will and not to the will of men. Don't listen to what men say. Listen to what the Scripture said. He's called you through His creation. He showed you His majesty. He's called you through His word and explained the path and the plan of salvation and told you how to do it. And He's called you through His Son. He loves you enough that He gave you His Son and called you through Him that you would obey His gospel and become a member of the body of Christ and enjoy His goodness. Now, why do you delay? Ponder on that as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.